What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap. It's the Fightful Weekly Recap Podcast. We got a lot to get into. We got our Q&A, just a whole bunch of stuff. Let's jump right into things. Brock Lesnar was in the news this week as it was rumored that he was heading back to the company. Now, I can share with you guys some personal experience I have in covering this story and his story in the past. So, in January, when the lawsuit came down with WWE, Vince McMahon, regarding sexual misconduct, allegations of sex trafficking, and the like, Brock Lesnar was referenced but not named in that lawsuit or the story associated. However, since then, with the Mr. McMahon documentary, the writer of that story did confirm, like, that's who it is referencing. It is referencing Brock Lesnar. She outright said that. I can tell you guys that the week of Royal Rumble, he was planned to come in and start a program with Gunther. Didn't end up happening. They actually had a monster reservation set up at a steakhouse for him. That ended up getting canceled. I also saw a build of the 2K game, 2K24, which I constantly, repeatedly, accidentally call WWE 2K25. Sorry, gamers. But it had Brock Lesnar featured in full in it, as well as Mr. McMahon, Vince McMahon, whatever the hell you want to call him. Mr. McMahon in that sense, because he was a character in a game. But they were removed by and large, except for some areas in which it would have been very difficult for them to remove. And that came at great cost. So around April, whenever the hell Philadelphia was for WrestleMania, there were rumors emerging from another outlet that were preparing to report that Brock Lesnar was going to return imminently and that he was going to be back at WrestleMania. And I told this story on the Monday podcast. I reached out to WWE sources, higher ups, about this, and they outright did not want to put it in a text message. I compared it to The Simpsons, where you meet up with someone and it's like a dark area and you see their lit cigarette, and they were very forthcoming about it. They're like, we have not talked about bringing him back. He is not factored into our plans right now. We went to great expense to remove him from things. And since then, they've went on to tell me he's not to be featured in promo videos. He's not to be mentioned by name. But when Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins referenced his name on, like, his nickname, that got some people saying, well, maybe that's the case. No, it has not been the case. He has not been brought up in creative. One creative source that we spoke to said that they haven't heard any updates in months. Another one said that they'd be surprised if he was brought back in the middle of a federal investigation. We did reach out to WWE reps in an official capacity, but did not hear back. Despite Triple H even saying that Lesnar could come back into the fold at a recent press event, we're told that he has not been brought up creatively. Like, it just has not been a thing. But as always, it's pro wrestling. We have seen much crazier things that have happened. Although this is one where I would be very, very surprised. I would be more surprised right now if we saw Brock Lesnar come back while this investigation is going on and the lawsuit is still up in the air than I was last year when CM Punk popped up. There was at least a sliver of hope there and all that, but this one would be such a bad PR move for that company. Stephanie Vaquer. So we had been working on this story for a little while and kind of put it on the back burner while she got her visa stuff settled and all that. But now that she's on NXT, made her in-ring debut, she looks rad. She's doing awesome. But she headed to WWE immediately after working Forbidden Door, and we've been able to get some reactions within the industry following her NXT debut. Those that we spoke to around the Mexican wrestling scene are of the belief that Vaquer will not need to return to the scene and exited accordingly. Like, she left like she was not planning on coming back. Sources in AEW did say that she made a good impression with her Mercedes feud, but they could tell shortly after Forbidden Door, WWE had reached out and she would eventually head to the company. Though how quickly it came together definitely surprised an awful lot of people. Sources in AEW said they understood the element of WWE wanting a great talent that they were also after, but didn't understand the element of pulling her from CMLL dates before she could drop a title that she needed to drop. However, when she was quickly turned around and wrestled on WWE's Mexico shows, that alleviated some of that criticism compared to her simply being signed and pulled off shows. Meaning, if they were just pulling her from shows to not have her do anything, that would have had a lot of people doing the side eye. However, considering the fact that they had her pull from those shows and then she worked shows immediately, they were like, okay, that makes a lot more sense. Thus far, WWE have appeared very happy with Stephanie, and she appears to be enjoying her time there. New Japan and AEW sources believe that it's likely that talent that worked Forbidden Door or co-promoted AEW shows in the future would have to make some sort of agreement to immediately not go to WWE. Like, maybe a non-compete of some sort. Some notes from last week's WWE Raw, which was a taped show. First off, they're doing a lot of double tapings throughout the end of the year. I think 5 to 6 throughout the end of the year. Now, these are for a variety of reasons. Thanksgiving, Christmas, holiday tours and shows, them having to go overseas for international tours, for the Saudi show, and Raw being 2 hours. It's harder to double tape a 3-hour show. But War Raiders are back. Fightful Selected reported that was going to be happening. We did see some more information emerge about writers in WWE. Now, producers, we largely post those just as a, hey, in case you want to know, here they are. But we haven't gotten a look at a lot of people who write segments. I know that Abu released a list of who he was told were writing specific segments and stories in AEW, but we don't often get that look in WWE. Cody Rhodes' promo was written by Christian Scovel on Raw. I don't have the info for SmackDown, but I'll see if I can find out anything regarding that. But we've seen Alexandra Williams writing a lot for the Punk-Drew McIntyre feud. How about a bunch of TNA news? And this one is sort of WWE and TNA news, because Joe Hendry caused a bit of a stir when somebody was taking a little shot at him the other day about something about how quickly his buzz died down or something like that. You know, just somebody talking that shit. And Joe Hendry said, imagine how this is going to look in 4 months. Now, the Royal Rumble is in 4 months, giving a lot of people reason to say, well, he's going to be in the Royal Rumble. But that led to TNA sources reaching out to myself and saying, well, just so you guys know, we got him under a contract for at least another year. Meaning that he is to remain with TNA, at least as things stand, until late 2025. And they intimated maybe early 2026. I don't have that information solid. I just know it's like at least a year. But things change, and I'll give you a good example of that. Jonathan Gresham, his deal is up in January. We'll talk more about that momentarily, but Jordan Grace, actually, a point that I brought up in this story that we broke in July and it went under the radar, she was originally under contract until like the spring or summer of 2025, but something happened and her deal was amended and it is now up in January. And you can guess where a lot of people think she's going to go in January. She has posted that she's going to stop doing her exclusive content. Her deal is up in January. WWE clearly likes her an awful lot. That leads to a natural conclusion that a lot of people expect her to go there. Now, Jonathan Gresham, I'm told, has made very good impressions when he's been around at WWE as well. Of course, he gains the respect or has the respect of so many people within the wrestling world for his technical ability in addition to that. But his deal is also up in January. Now, I don't know if something happened that Jordan just happened to want to amend her deal to that, or she wanted it to match up with Gresham, who is her husband. But those deals are both up in January. Contract that is up now is Jay Vidal. Jay Vidal asked for his release from TNA Wrestling, I believe within the last couple of weeks, and was granted that release. He confirmed our report on Twitter this past week, but from what I understood, his deal was going to be up around January as it was. He signed a multi-year deal in 2022 that would have put him through 2024, but that is no longer the case. I'm told there's like not any ill will or anything like that, but Jay Vidal did feel a little unseen in some senses. Jay was the first openly gay TNA wrestler, at least as promoted by them, and felt like there were some issues with representation and not being featured and things like that, and felt like he just wasn't heard, especially after Scott D'Amore left the company. But Jay Vidal, now a free agent. And speaking of Scott D'Amore, we had, I think, one of our best interviews of the year with Scott D'Amore. I've never done an interview with him. I've only met him once or twice. And we covered a lot of ground there. We talked about Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling and the process of, one, booking talent from TNA, which is a place that he just left under not so wonderful circumstances, but says that he initially talks to the talent, then they get it approved, and then getting places like AEW and ROH to approve doing title matches. And it's something that they throw out there, and if they can get it approved, they do. But beyond that, he talked about how he was getting messages from like Keith Mitchell, Kevin Sullivan, Josh Alexander, a lot of people like that after he was fired from TNA, and thought, you know what, this is a pretty good company that I could put together here. And if you look at the card that they ran this weekend, the two cards, it was insane. Like, the cards were so loaded. And this is something that I had mentioned, and we're going into opinion mode on this. Mission Pro Wrestling is on hiatus. Black Label Pro is on hiatus. PWG is on hiatus. Obviously, GCW and Wrestling Revolver and a lot of other places are doing really good, but I think there's definitely some room, especially in the Canadian scene. And Scott D'Amore came up, coincidentally, around the same time Jimmy Van did, when Jimmy Van was around that scene. And Jimmy Van booked guys like Bobby Roode and Eric Young. And he said that he wants to create a situation where talent like that can emerge in Canada and that Northern America sort of area that existed 20 years ago. And he said that he maintains a good relationship with TNA despite his exit from the company. But we talked about the importance of Maple Leaf Garden, and I asked him just some good old wrestling nerd questions I had about how things work and the process of things. Specifically, how the hell are Jeff Jarrett and Christian Cage allowed to use TNA themes? And he said that actually he saw Christian Cage debut and that Christian Cage had a knockoff of the TNA theme, which is a knockoff of the Waterproof Blonde song, the Story of the Year song. And that he went to Christian and said, why don't you just use this? We'll let you. And they did it. And with Jeff Jarrett, he felt like it was appropriate because that is Jeff Jarrett's theme song. Nobody else is going to come along and use that. It's just his song. Now, I also asked about his perceptions of the AEW and TNA relationship, and he said that it did great numbers for TNA, and it was very important. It was a situation where both companies wanted a little bit of buzz, and what were they going to do? Not work with AEW at that point? During the pandemic, they needed to do something to get people to tune in, and he said that Kenny Omega did that. Now, he did say that if it were up to Kenny Omega, he would have wrestled a whole lot of people. He would have wrestled more people than he could, but there were a lot of hurdles in the way. And he did admit that restrictions ultimately are what ended that relationship, and it's why it hadn't been picked back up. But he also highlighted just how hurt Kenny Omega was all the time. He said that Kenny Omega was in such rough shape physically that he had to get worked on but for like over an hour a lot of times before he could even go out there and actually work, which, I mean, I think that by the time Kenny took his time off, almost a year, we realized just how much stuff he was going through. I mean, injuries up and down, and said that he wanted to work Eddie Edwards and Josh Alexander, but a lot of those restraints kept it from happening, both physically and from a sort of political standpoint. I'm using that word. He didn't. We also spoke about Dixie Carter, lots of other stuff. I encourage you guys, check out that interview. It's a good one. Some AEW news and notes. So I was asking about a lot of the criticism that the AEW referees have gotten, and I think in these two instances, justifiably so. Not to pick on them as human beings, but there were a couple of instances on pay-per-view recently where they could be seen either pushing a wrestler's shoulder down or pushing it up, so to speak. And I just think that's something you don't do. You don't impede with the count. And I know that there are explanations that they have given, I don't know, Mark Henry or whoever, but it's bad visual look. You don't ever do that. You tell them shoulders not down or something like that. But in asking about that, I found out that they had actually renewed a number of the referees earlier this year to additional 1-year deals. I think that they'll probably be put on longer deals now that the TV deal is done, but a bunch of them got renewed earlier this year and will be remaining with the company. Also, an update on Killswitch, aka Luchasaurus. He's on oxygen, nowhere near training for a potential return. Most medical professionals he's spoken to indicate that they think he'll be able to return, but getting better physically is the primary goal. He is going to be on oxygen for a number of weeks. Sending our love to Luchasaurus, man. That is a rough situation that man went through. AEW note from Corey Brennan said that despite Thunder Rosa only being cleared for action days before her October 15th Riot Cabaret show, they were always confident in her being cleared for their Thunder Road show. Made no plans for a replacement. There were also those in the promotion that were happy with the reception to Rosa winning that title. Sources within the company praised AEW for how accommodating they were for Rosa's run with the promotion. And there are extensive plans in Riot Cabaret for her title reign. In addition, I'm told that Sammy Guevara was working to get cleared and did so, or at least that internally they believe he is cleared. Let's jump into the Q&A portion of this show. So, full disclosure, I filmed some of this before the Bengals came on Sunday and the rest of this afterwards, and that's been since the Stephanie Vaquer story came out with me reporting that CMLL, New Japan, AEW are expected to have protections in place to prevent talent from immediately signing with WWE after they appear on stuff like Forbidden Door. And I saw just, first off, a lot of misrepresenting what I had put out there and sort of reported. And I don't believe that they are going to be held to any unusual contract things. I think they're just going to make sure that they got people under contract and make sure that they aren't in a situation where somebody's deal is up immediately after Forbidden Door and they're being featured in a prominent spot there. So let's go ahead and get to the Q&A. Gerard says, Scott D'Amore said on your interview with him that the TNA AEW partnership ended because of restrictions that were put on it. Can you expand that at all? I think he did without expanding on it. Who Kenny Omega could face, who he could lose to, who he could appear with. A lot of restrictions like that are what I had assumed it would be, or I assumed were what held that up. In the past, some wrestlers were known to live their gimmick. I'm thinking Nikita Koloff comes to mind. Characters today were a lot more grounded. Did you know many that don't break character? There are none that don't break character with me that I've spoken to that just stay in that all the time. I would say Boogeyman and MJF probably stay in theirs the most to audience members in general. I remember 5 years ago I was doing an interview with MJF. We had to move to a different place and he was like, hey, hold on. And I was like, what? And we were walking through the MGM Grand and he had noticed somebody about 30 feet away in an AEW shirt. And he stood there and stared at them. And then they noticed him. And as soon as they looked at him, he said, fuck you. Amazing. For TV deals, how do the payments work? Is it quarterly, monthly, a lump sum? Or are there particular targets that need to be hit? Well, it all depends on the deal. But usually they're regular scheduled intervals. And I am not hip to what those intervals are. Sean, any updates on Gigi Dolin? Amber, unfortunately, Gigi Dolin was sidelined quite a while back with a knee injury. If you listen to this show, you know it's I'm not one to really predict when people will return from knee injuries, but here's the hoping that she gets better soon. She's been out since, March, so we're talking about 7 months into her recovery at this stage. Do you know if there are any plans for an Undisputed Era reunion in AEW? By UE, I mean Adam, Roddy, and Kyle. I think it's possible. I think especially once the Elite eventually comes back and Kenny Omega is back in the fold. I mean, that's been one of my dream matches for a long time since Black and Gold versus AEW. Like, I've always wanted to see that match. It just made a lot of sense, but the guys are never healthy. I know Bobby Fish had never really been considered for the Undisputed Era in AEW, but I think eventually it will happen. I think eventually we'll see a situation where you have Undisputed Era take out the Kingdom. Do you think AEW can ever get back to the level they were at 21, 22? This was a time when they were neck and neck with WWE in both ticket sales and some viewership metrics. Now these days, the difference is larger than ever. Well, I mean, I'll say this, that's sort of misleading. They were coming out of the pandemic then. Viewership, AEW has never been close to WWE's main shows in viewership. In NXT, they were healthily beating NXT, and they pretty regularly beat NXT now. It's just occasionally it'll be back and forth. As far as other things like social reach and digital clips, like AEW never approached WWE in that. WWE has always had a stranglehold on the digital element of things. But I think that AEW has done a very good thing this past week by promoting a lot of their upcoming live shows, which are all TV tapings, by the way. We're not talking about live events or house shows, but they're promoting those on TV because you can do all the Instagram and Facebook ads and radio show and all that you can or you want. But sometimes you need to advertise to the people that are actively watching your TV show. Do you know if there are any plans for Scorpio Sky? Man, they have just repeatedly dropped plans for him. I don't know. I mean, the fact that he's taking indie dates right now, I think is telling. Because I think he's probably, and this is me speaking, I think he's probably just sick of sitting around and waiting. Do you know why AEW doesn't do post-show dark matches? At least then people would know that certain wrestlers will be there even though they aren't on the TV portion. Yes, I do. It's because they have usually such a busy schedule with TV taping in general. It's not just Dynamite that's getting taped. They're usually taping Rampage and ROH or Collision, then Rampage and ROH. They're usually taping multiple shows every single time they tape shows. But it's one of those things where I feel like they probably should have dark match main events planned. And I think there's a real possibility of it once Rampage is no longer a thing that has to be filmed. So, yeah. Any reasoning behind Jamie Hayter's lack of appearances since All In? She's had a momentous return, and it feels like we've barely seen her since. Friend, I do not know what you're talking about. I know a lot of people don't watch Collision, but she is on Collision. She wrestled on Collision this past week. She beat Brooke Havoc. She won, or she was in the top contender four-way a couple weeks ago. She faced Saraya in the Collision or the Saraya's Rules match at Collision. She has been pretty, actually, she wasn't on Collision for the Fatal Four-Way. She was on Dynamite for the Fatal Four-Way, but she's wrestled on Collision a few times. She's also had the feud going on with Penelope Ford, where Penelope Ford cut a good promo as well. Like, we can't say, oh, they need to treat Rampage and Collision more importantly, and then when they put a top talent on those shows, then say, yeah, well, not over there, because it's not convenient for me. I definitely get what you mean, but she's been on the shows. Any correlation between Cole being on special assignment and saying he's on vacation in Mexico? I think he's on vacation. But you know what? I want to say this. Good on Michael Cole for re-signing with WWE. He is doing some of the best work of his career, and it is wonderful to hear how he is without Vince McMahon in his ear. He's always been incredibly talented and very good at what he did and liked by a lot of people on that team, and now he's really, really getting to show it. Any idea or guess as to when Paul Heyman will appear on screen? I would imagine en route to something with The Rock. That's what I'm thinking. So probably early next year. Giovanni Vinci, what on earth? Have plans been dropped entirely, or is he in the doghouse? I haven't heard of him being in the doghouse, but I haven't heard of any plans for him. They didn't have major plans for him anyway. Any update on Carmella's drop foot injury and when she might be cleared? Considering that, you know, she is also coming back from maternity leave and hadn't wrestled regularly, I don't think that they're going to really push that. They're not going to like really, really stress that or anything like that. So it'll be a whenever she's ready thing. Which of these matches or feuds are more likely to happen? Jamie Hayter versus Britt Baker or CM Punk versus AJ Styles? Punk versus AJ Styles. They're in the same company. It's a natural thing to do. I could see that happening, honestly. I don't think it's going to imminently, but I could see that going down. Britt and Jamie, I mean, I guess, but yeah. What have you heard about Kevin Owens' contract? Nothing new, just that they approached Kevin Owens about a deal a while back ago, and I don't know that he's re-signed. He's very smart. Like, he's one of the smartest guys in wrestling about how that is, you know, laid out there. And I know this, Tony Khan and AEW have wanted Kevin Owens for a very long time. The latest I had heard was they approached him for a deal. I have not heard anything since then. He's been very quiet to people, even people close to him, as a result of that. And I think that that is, I think that that's intentional. Would you like to see 1 hour Iron Man matches returning in WWE? Yeah. And I mean, we kind of have with the Iron Survivor thing, but I think that that would be a nice approach for the main roster, like do a fatal four way Iron Man match or something like that. I would love to see a tables Iron Man match in some capacity. Is there any heat on Undertaker for coming out and hosting Donald Trump on his podcast? I mean, there are a lot of people that disagree with it. And I mean, that's just the nature of politics in general. You're going to have people that disagree with you, but I haven't heard of anybody in WWE that's mad at him for it or anything like that. Why do so many storylines in AEW start and then just are dropped? The same reason why storylines are started and then dropped in WWE and TNA that were in any number of places. They get forgotten about, they get abandoned, political reasons, just a variety of stuff. Any update on if Penta or Phoenix appear in AEW again before their deals expire? They claim that they are willing to do so. And I think if they're willing to do so, you should have them on there. Have them put over some people. Have them do that. And if not, if you're not going to use them whatsoever, I would absolutely let them go. If you're going to use them on your shows, by all means, bring them in. But if you're going to park them just to park them and they want to wrestle and they're willing to do it and not be difficult, well, then I think that you should probably just let them go. What are you hearing in terms of how many AEW pay-per-views in 2025? 10 to 12 is what I'm hearing. Any rumors on locations other than Australia? No, not yet, but I would imagine that they're going to try to spread it around a little bit more. I think they need to go to some markets that they haven't been to. I asked you a couple of years if it was possible. We got NXT Sami Zayn on the main roster. We got pretty close. So I asked the same about Gargano and Ciampa, meaning more big matches and maybe their rivalries come back. Well, they already got Motor City Machine Guns next week, so I'm going to say yeah. I am absolutely going to say yes. What are some realistic predictions you have for TNA next year? I think they are going to go very deep into signing fresh new talent from the indies that have buzz. I mean, they stand to lose some pretty big names unless they re-sign them. So I think that they've got to go fresh and go get a lot of talent that is out there. Like, there's a wealth of women's talent that is TV ready out there. Would you merge the International and Continental Championships to be one belt and have Takeshita beat Okada? Yes, I would. I would make it an absolute banger of a match and make it really change Okada and then effectively promote that as a top title. But it was brought up to me when I had brought up the point of streamlining titles. Like, you know, maybe that's a possibility. Now, I haven't heard that that's the firm plan, but I've heard that that's been kicked around. Not that match specifically, just the possibility of titles being merged. When do you think WrestleMania might be in the UK? Do you think it's likely to happen? I don't think it's happening anytime soon. I really don't. I mean, that it would have to make financial sense. I saw people arguing over, oh, London would need to pay. No, they wouldn't. Yes, everybody's going to pay. Everybody would be paying a site fee for WrestleMania at this point. There is no city that is too good for that to happen. Someone asks, why does Vince Russo hate you so much? Why was he angrily tweeting you over the Pierce Morgan clip? Listen, I have expanded about all that I am willing to for him on the Francine podcast I did. Now, I know a bunch of this happened since then, but I cannot imagine someone, much less in their mid-60s, being that concerned with what I do, whether it be writing or reporting or on podcasts or anything like that. So there's one thing I have learned this year. It is people like that are not worth my time when there are people in my life that I might not have around in a year from now or something like that, that I could give more time to. So not bothering with that guy. It's just very unfortunate. Ty says, sorry if this has been covered before. Has there been any more talk of Punk signing or negotiating a long-term deal? I remember something coming up a couple months ago about him wanting to sign a forever deal. Well, I mean, his deal is barely a year in, or not even a year in yet. But I know that they wanted to work out a more comprehensive deal, I believe it was, or a more intricate deal. There's a lot of things like that. David says, you are granted a full hour to interview anybody currently working in the wrestling industry. A truth serum is administered, and they are compelled to answer every question honestly. No questions are off limits, and there will be no negative repercussions for Fightful. Who would you choose? Well, first off, I just want to say this. I don't care if there are ever negative repercussions for Fightful when I interview someone based on the questions that I ask them. That is never a concern for me. That person would be Triple H for 1 hour. Because he has worked with the previous regime, the current regime, and there's a lot of other stuff that I would like to ask him about personally. Do you have an update on the relationship between Maple Leaf Pro and AEW? It's just a standard independent company that is booking AEW talent. That's really the extent of it. There's not a lot more to it, but Maple Leaf has had a phenomenal showing this weekend. Does WWE still have four world titles between three shows? I thought I heard the title Cody has still has the universal title lineage attached to it. Yes, technically, the world title that Cody has is also the universal title. It is still referenced on the WWE website. Cody is listed as the championship holder with the time of 196-197 days, but he has one title that represents both the WWE and Universal Championship. I have not heard any plans for them to run with two title belts like that. But as best I know, that's just, I mean, if you include that symbolic belt as a third one, sure, but really there's three, but really there's two. What's going on with Shotzi? She sustained a knee injury earlier this year, and she is out for quite some time. Eric says, what happened to the post-show scrum at WrestleDream? Tony didn't show up. It was 15 minutes long, and nobody knew what was going on. It wasn't 15 minutes long. It was longer than that. It just wasn't long. Growing pains of them trying to develop a new method of the scrums. Tony was not planned as of earlier that week. It wasn't like an impromptu thing. But I don't know exactly if they're going to keep that going. I can tell you one thing. I like talking to Tony Khan on the media calls and all that stuff. It's fine. But man, somebody's got to get with him and say, maybe don't go that far into the history. We don't need 15-minute answers on those things. Any rumors around surprise appearances at Bound for Glory? They're always expecting surprise appearances at almost every taping. With the announcement of his retirement, is it possible Tanahashi actually has a match with John Cena? Would WWE work with New Japan? There are no active plans for WWE to work with New Japan at this moment. Hey, SRS, speculation on when ROH would land a TV deal. Well, I mean, it'd be shopped right now, so literally whenever available. The exclusivity is up on January 1st, so ROH is not bound to that. ROH is able to exist of its own, so that is not subject to any of the exclusivity rules. But I it's hard for me to believe that they'll land one as of now. Do you believe AEW has too many factions? No, I think they have too many factions that aren't booked appropriately. Do you think Marina Shafir will end up wrestling men in the future with the way her character is going? I do not. Tony has never been a big intergender wrestling person, but Marina Shafir is being booked as their China, and I think it's working very, very well. What's the latest on Elimination Chamber in the UK? Seems like WWE announced it for the UK, and now it could be heading to Canada. I don't have any details on this, but there were a lot of people asking me about the Australia stuff. Usually, it is a PR-coordinated thing there. And it's not usually an accident when they reveal that shows are coming to Australia. I'll say that. What's the deal with Max Caster on AEW TV calling himself the best wrestler in the world all the time? I don't get it. I don't know if it's like a tongue-in-cheek thing. I don't know. But there you go. Don't know. I wish I knew. I was like, I don't have the answer, but it's a little puzzling, right? Like, it's not. Let's go on to the next question. Sean, great work as always. What's the story on AJ Styles and his Lanfranc injury? Real story, both. Everybody I've talked to claims that it's real. I'll just say that. Kevin Owens has told people close to him, his friends, the writing team, they all claim that it's real. There were just too many things that first night that did not pass the smell test for me. His segment ended right on time. There was an injury angle planned for that. They did a trainer's room segment. They kept the camera on him. They showed him hobbling to the back. They had LA Knight ready to get involved. Then they filmed him walking out on crutches. Then they had Jackie Redmond, who never posts injury news, posting it. I mean, listen, I hope he's okay. And I don't want to make it seem like I don't trust the man when he speaks candidly about a potential injury. It's just there were a lot of things that first night, and I'm like, they never do this stuff with injury. So that's why it gave me pause on that. I hope it's a work because I don't want the guy to be hurt, especially in a run which was supposed to be, you know, the twilight of his career. With WWE trademarking Dirty Dom, should we expect a solo push for him in the near future? They've been hinting towards that, like him hinting about the Intercontinental title and stuff like that. So yeah, I would expect it. I would expect it, but I think he's done his job very well. I think he's done his job very well, and I feel like could really pick up I think he could pick up a babyface run in the future, guys. Like a very Eddie Guerrero-esque babyface run where he cheats a lot and people just like the fact that he's cheating a lot. Ali Khan says, has Tony made an effort getting out a Dynamite and Collision card weeks in advance? The book matches for a couple weeks in advance, which is great. I mean, it's something they did pretty commonly prior, and it's something they need to get back to. And it's something I brought this up numerous times. I understand that they can promote stuff for this week's Collision Rampage, but give me stuff on the show I'm actively watching, man. Like, give me that. Sean, was this Battle of the Belts with WBD the last one? And when do you think the final Rampage will be? Final Rampage is supposed to be at the end of the year. WBD and Battle of the Belts, I don't think that is continuing. For all in all, for AEW, I'm sure they're pretty happy with this because they are, you know, getting paid way more money and getting their exclusivity back for significantly less content. And listen, if it was up to me, AEW would just keep Dynamite and Collision and book those. Now, I understand that as a company, they are going to try to make as much money as possible. And if that means adding an additional 2 hours and getting paid however much by Fox or whatever company is willing to pay them for that, they're going to do that. But from a content standpoint, Collision was one of the most unneeded things. Now, there's also situations where Miro, Scorpio Sky, a wealth of talent has not been used for years at a time. And that needs to be rectified as long as creatively the two sides can come to terms. But I think that AEW worked best when it wasn't, for example, WWE was at points so saturated. Now they don't put anything of consequence on Main Event. I watch it every week, but it's largely let's get a look at NXT talent in front of a live crowd. They have NXT, which in many ways exists in its own universe, which is fine, but also has enough crossover to where fans can enjoy both. Raw is now at 2 hours and SmackDown is at 2 hours. Boy, do I think that's perfect for them. Plus, they got a brand split. AEW right now has 2 hours of Dynamite, 2 hours of Collision, an hour of Rampage. Occasionally, they do Battle of the Belts, but they also have Ring of Honor, which features a lot of those talent. And I think it's a lot for them. And I think, if anything, they should scale back. Again, to be the alternative to WWE, it's to not saturate with content. But I also understand they are running a business. They have to produce whatever it is that makes that company money, and that's what they're doing right now. I just think, as things stand, Dynamite, Collision, that's perfectly fine. Guys, I want to say thank you all for tuning in. Let me know what you guys want to see, hear more of. Tell the world about Fightful Select. It would mean an awful lot if you guys did that. Until next time, we're out.